Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live the barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot is a man who's been barefoot since 1990 and original member of BIL. Sitting in for Nick Pierce is Richard Johnson.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Barefoot is Legal broadcast, where we empower you to live the barefoot lifestyle. Now, many of you may have different reasons for going barefoot, some for religious reasons, some for cultural reasons, other for health or medical reasons, but whatever your reasons, we all share the same thing in common. That's having to deal with those who believe there are laws which make it illegal to be barefoot in public, or even those who believe in exaggerated dangers and myths, again, saying we shouldn't be barefoot in public. None of this is true. So whatever your reasons are for going barefoot, I invite you to call in, share your stories, your experiences, or ask questions. If you'd like to be part of the show today, the phone number here is 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. Again, that number is 319-527-6208. I'd also like everyone to please check out our website, barefootislegal.org, or our Facebook page and our Facebook group, both same name, Barefoot is Legal, where you can interact with other members of the barefoot community during and after our broadcast. Also, if you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle, please join our group if you haven't done so already. Again, Barefoot is Legal. And we're also on just about every other social media platform, so you can check us out there on Instagram and Twitter, MeWe, etc. So please look for us and find us there. Now, before we get started, just a reminder, this is not a fetish community. So for those folks who enjoy foot pics for personal gratification, nope, that's not what we're here for. We're here to educate and empower you and spread the message that going barefoot is legal. Again, welcome to the show. I'm your co-host, or I should say normally your co-host, Rick Johnson. I'm running the helm again today on behalf of our normal host, Nick Pierce, who's taking some much-needed time off for this summer. And before we continue on, I'd like to thank our president of Barefoot is Legal, who stepped in for last week since I was unable to be here for the show as well. So he covered for both Nick and myself. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a founding member of the BIL, and I've been a barefoot advocate since 1991. Having been an original member of one of the very first, actually the very first barefooting group, the Dirty Soul Society, as well as just about every other barefooting group around. I've been living and preaching the barefoot lifestyle for 27 years now, and it's my privilege to share what I've learned. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes, if you're wearing any, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time we have together. So, looking at this past week, one of the things I wanted to talk about as we get out of the gate here is I noticed a lot of folks questioning some of the ADA laws and how they go around trying to figure out what they can do to skirt around the ADA laws, or rather use them to their benefit. And, well, this isn't me implying any judgment on anybody's decisions on what to do. I kind of recommend that, you know, you try to stay true to what's part of your life. In other words, ADA laws allow for people with actual disabilities of some sort, mobility issues, what have you, that require them to need some special accommodations. And as long as they're fairly reasonable, businesses are required to abide by those and provide those accommodations. So if you've got a disability, whether, you know, it's a doctor saying, hey, you need to not wear shoes for balance, or, you know, because they cause your feet too much pain and you can't move, those are all legitimate reasons. And I encourage folks, if you have those types of issues, go seek a medical professional and get yourself a prescription for that. Now, mind you, when you go into any business and you claim a medical disability, you do not have to prove that disability. They're not allowed to ask you what's wrong with you. All they can really say is, you know, Do you have anything that shows you have this in a doctor's note stating, hey, my patient here cannot wear shoes? End of story. Doesn't have to describe the reasons why, what the situations are, what the conditions are. Just you don't need to wear shoes. They don't have to provide the specific medical documentation, the diagnosis of what's wrong with you, because that's an invasion of your personal privacy, and businesses aren't allowed to do that. So that's one way of kind of, you know, having businesses comply, especially, I mean, when we're talking specifically about those businesses that just refuse to get with the times and understand that there are no laws against barefooting, that there are no health code laws against barefooting. The other thing that folks want to use is the religious purposes. In other words, if your religion requires you to go barefooted, to comply with those religious tenets, again, that's, you know, something else that's your personal business to decide if that's what you want to do. The thing that I would recommend is, again, make it, you know, be something that's legitimate. You know, one of the hard things about the fight for barefooting rights for us is believability. And that's, you know, if people think we're pulling one over on them, or we're just using some, you know, what they perceive as a illegitimate excuse, it just makes us look bad. And I'd prefer everybody try their best to accommodate, you know, to get their right to be barefoot made, while at the same time just being truthful about it. So anyway, that's just kind of a small little nutshell of that. My thoughts on that is, you know, just be truthful. Make it something truthful. If you're going to go for religious reasons, make sure you're following legitimate religious reasons. If you have a medical condition, you know, make sure that you're following it as a legitimate medical condition. That way, you know, people aren't going to be able to question whether or not you're being truthful. All right. Anyway, if anybody has any questions about that, please, I'd love to hear from you. Call in to the phone number. It's 319-527-6208. I'll be happy to discuss all of, you know, what I've learned through all these years of researching, especially the public accommodation laws. And this kind of segues into another topic I wanted to discuss. I've been noticing a lot of folks are kind of questioning whether or not barefoot is legal, should be trying to force businesses to allow barefooted patrons. Now, just so people understand, barefoot is legal. We're not here to force everybody on the planet to do our bidding. We're not trying to make everybody go barefooted. We're not trying to make every single business accept people who are barefooted. The big problem is that most of the laws that businesses here in the U.S. especially still operate under are based off of prejudice and myths dating back to the 60s, during the Vietnam War era, during the, you know, the hippie movement, during the, you know, that whole countercultural revolution that took place. And they did not agree with anti-war protesters, and there was still a bit of racial, I'm using that term loosely. There was a lot of racial prejudice, and there were some unscrupulous business owners who latched on to the no shoes, because that was a big part of that culture during the 60s, is to go barefoot, just kind of being natural and relaxed. But these business owners latched on to being barefooted as a means of identifying a particular group of people they didn't want in their businesses. And rather than just owning up and saying, hey, we don't want barefooters in here, nope, instead they were able to hide their prejudice behind claiming it was by order of the health department. And the thing is nobody bothered to question, wait a minute, when did the health department pass these laws stating that bare feet aren't allowed in restaurants? And then the health department really never bothered to do anything about the signage. They just kind of let it go, not thinking anything of it. Or, you know, that's my assumption, because now when businesses do put up that sign claiming the health department made this rule, they're actually a little more quick to say, hey, no, we didn't do that. You have to change that signage, which is why you won't see as many signs outside of businesses or in especially restaurants that say, by order of the health department, no bare feet allowed. Now you'll see the 3NS signs, as we call them, the no shoes, no shirt, no service. Now again, we're not here to force all businesses to accept us. We just merely want the businesses to make the choice that if you're going to honestly decide you want a type of a dress code and you want to enforce that, obviously as a business owner, that is your right in this country to decide how you want your patrons to dress. And of course, it's also your right to suffer the consequences of that if you lose a large section of your customer base because of it. And that's kind of where we're getting to, is that no, we don't want the businesses to have to accept barefooters. We want them to accept barefooters because it's the right thing to do, because there's no laws against it. But if you're going to have a dress code, then just sit there and state that. Our dress code requires our patrons to have shoes on. Period. End of story. Me personally, I'll respect that if that's how they want to go about it. I'm also not going to be somebody who's going to be shopping at their business, so I'm not going to be spending my money there. And that's one of the biggest ways that we as barefooters, in addition to advocacy, is speaking with our dollars. The business doesn't want me, doesn't want my barefooted money, then I'll go elsewhere, because there's a lot of other businesses that are clamoring to get our money. So getting back to this whole thing about businesses accepting barefooters, to those of you folks that have been posting online, excuse me, got a little bit of a sniffles today, those of you been posting online about that, you're absolutely right. We have to respect a business's wishes. However, I would like those businesses to at least be answering from an intelligent perspective, a decision they've made themselves, not just something they've arbitrarily decided because it's what they've grown up believing, like most of the public. And that's, you know, the big battle that we're trying to fight, is to educate people that there have never been any laws regarding being barefooted in public. There's no laws regarding being barefooted in a restaurant. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, who wants to keep hanging on to a remnant of an old time where prejudice, because the other thing too, it's not just the barefooters, it wasn't just the anti-hippie culture, it was also very much directed at minorities who lived, you know, I mean, just to call it what it is, you know, they were generally a little bit poorer, and, you know, back in the 60s and many decades before, shoes were actually a luxury. Shoes were something that were kind of expensive, and especially if you're a working parent and you had several children, buying shoes for them all the time, because as we all know, kids grow. And I can remember having a new shoe size just about every year from as young as I can remember till, you know, I was in high school. And having to buy 3, 4, 5 pairs of what at that time were expensive shoes every single year for that many kids was a little bit cost prohibitive. So it was much easier just to let the kids go barefooted from as soon as the weather turned nice to as long as they could tolerate it. And then you went out and got the shoes that you needed. I mean, even in the as far back as, you know, when I was in kindergarten, first grade, you know, there were some of us kids that did go barefooted to class. And, you know, it just wasn't a big deal. And I know in earlier years, decades, being barefooted at school was a common thing. And it's a shame we, you know, aren't still there. But so as poor folks would kind of wander around barefoot, guess what? If I was a business owner who was prejudiced against that particular minority that was poor, I could hide behind the no shoes rule. Or the no bare feet rule with the health department, and hide my prejudice and keep them out of my business. So this is, another one of the main reasons why we keep pushing back against this. We're not going to force all businesses to accept bare feet, because what it comes down to is the simple fact of we're looking for the personal freedom to be barefooted where and when we want, as long as we're not harming somebody else. And let's face it, having our feet exposed in public is not going to harm anybody. If they see us walking around barefoot, it's easy enough for them to look away. They don't have to stare at our feet. It's not like we're putting our feet on them. It's not like we're making them touch our feet with their bare hands or their mouths or what have you. They can look away. So, we want our personal freedoms, and, you know, we want to allow businesses to have theirs, but just be reasonable about how you're choosing that freedom or to exercise your freedom. And yes, deciding on a dress code is your freedom. So obviously, we can't be free to be barefooted if we're forcing others to have to accept our bare feet. But again, I'm going to keep beating this like a dead horse forever and a day for as long as this show runs, that, you know, it's about making the choice to not believe in the myths, to not believe in the prejudicial beliefs. And if you don't want bare feet in your business, then choose that, but own up to it. So, anyway, that's about all I have to cover on that. So, you're going to have to forgive me as I kind of wasn't able this week to kind of get any ideas prepared as far as what we're going to do. So, I'm going to be just kind of talking off the top of my head, which we'll see how that goes. That may or may not be a very good thing, but hopefully I won't create too much dead time. I'm hoping everybody's enjoying their summer. I know here where I'm living in Monterey, we're kind of having a little bit of a cooler summer than what we normally had, but it's still bright and sunshiny outside. And I've been doing a lot of Uber driving, barefooted as usual. And what's kind of fun is we've had that question asked by other Uber drivers about driving barefooted, and that's something I can happily report. I've been driving Uber for 2.5 years, and I've never once had shoes on while driving that whole time. And I've never seen anything from Uber ever, or any of the other ride shares like Lyft, requiring us to have to wear shoes. I mean, obviously they do have suggestions, you know, what they call pro tips for driving, that do include, you know, dressing professionally. And quite frankly here, you know, this being a beach community, I can't speak for how it might be in a city environment. But for me, driving barefooted half the time in shorts, usually a T-shirt, maybe a hoodie on, seems to be a perfectly acceptable uniform. And I've never had a passenger complain. And my ratings are nice and high. So if people were upset by it, I'm sure somebody would have downgraded my rating based off of my attire. And about the only time that I'll throw on my flip-flops, which I carry under the seat, is if I have to get out of the vehicle to, when I'm picking up passengers, let's say like someplace that's kind of more upscale, like the Monterey Plaza Hotel that's down here, you know, it's a little more affluent, or the Intercontinental. And if I see the clients are fairly well-dressed when I'm pulling up, and I'm going to have to get out to help load their luggage in the back of my vehicle, I'll throw the flip-flops on just to avoid any starting off on, you know, no pun intended, the wrong foot. And, you know, and I'll load them up, and then when I get back in the car, they get in the car, when we get ready to take off, flip-flops come back off. And my car's not like a huge car, so people sitting in the back seat have on several occasions noticed my bare feet, because they have made comments to, hey, you drive barefoot. Not like an accusatory thing or a fear thing or a concern, just more of a question about me driving barefoot, which always leads to a conversation. And 99% of the time, the conversations turn out really, really nicely, in the sense of I know where they stand. They don't care that I'm barefooted. Oftentimes, they themselves learned how to drive barefoot. You know, because especially too, like people, you know, I am speaking more specifically people my age, you know, that are 40s, 50s plus. Automatic vehicles weren't as common back then. You had standard transmission vehicles, which meant, you know, clutch. And you could get a lot of sensation and information through the sole of your feet as you're learning to drive these vehicles, feeling the engine vibration through the pedals, feeling the clutch engage through the pedals. And it provided you a better means of controlling and knowing when to apply more gas, when to let off on gas as you're depressing the clutch and transitioning gears, etc. So a lot of these same folks, they, you know, they learned how to drive that same way, barefooted. And like many of us, you know, that are in modern society, they just kind of, as they got older, got out of their teenage years, just stopped driving barefooted. But I like to think that, you know, them seeing me driving around barefoot may help inspire some of them to reconsider it. Some of the conversations that we've had were discussing that, you know, discussing the fact that driving barefooted does give you better control. One of the things I always like to point out when people kind of question it is race car drivers, for those of you folks that don't know it, if you ever bothered to pay attention, look at their shoes the next time you just happen to be watching something, they're doing some interview and they're showing the drivers, they're wearing something that looked very, very similar to like a tennis shoe. But if you look really, really close, it's actually a specifically made driving shoe that most of them wear that has an almost zero sole to it. I mean, it's just thin leather, and it's the same reason that we like to drive barefoot. These thin leather soles allow them to have a much better feel on the pedals. Now, I don't know if the shoes are lined with flame retardant material or what have you, and if there's some safety aspects to it, but they're not like steel-toed, sturdy, heavy-soled shoes. They're just light shoes that are specifically made for driving. And a matter of fact, in the commercial driving sector of luxury cars, you know, we're talking those vintage classic cars that come out to like the Concours d'Elegance show or any of those types of car shows, where the, you know, people have these hundreds of thousands of dollar price tag cars. A lot of these folks that drive these performance vehicles and some of these older luxury vehicles wear what's called a driving moccasin. And again, it's another shoe designed to mimic being barefooted. And this isn't me trying to, you know, push driving shoes by any stretch. It's just showing how, when it gets down to it, people who are habitually shod still subconsciously seem to always seek out being barefooted because they, you know, practicality kind of dictates the fact that having more, you know, using the sensation that's in the soles of your feet makes sense. It allows you better control of the vehicle. You know what's going on more with the vehicle. So it's just something to consider. So next time, like I said, when you're watching a race show or what have you, look at what they're wearing. Same thing, too, like if you happen to see some vintage car, you're at a car show somewhere with real high-end vehicles, and maybe they have a little tour before the show begins where they get all the cars that are vintage cars and they go drive on a kind of like a little parade route or a touring route. When these folks get out of their vehicles, start looking at some of their shoes, and I think you'll be surprised at how many of these folks are wearing shoes designed to mimic being barefoot. Well, with that said, we're getting close to the top of the hour here. And I think what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to head over to a commercial here real quick and give me a chance to go get some water. Again, I'm still kind of new to the radio broadcasting, so my throat tends to dry out more than I'd like. So I hope you guys can forgive me. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready? Here on Freedomizer Radio. And be prepared.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Tune in to the Mad Scientist Exposed Show every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, where we discuss the science in the news today, take a closer look, and expose where fraud is being committed for various agendas. From money to politics to downright pure evil and malice. Of course we trust science. It's scientists we don't trust. Tune in and join the conversation on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific on Freedomizer Radio.
In this digital society, making connections is quickly becoming a lost art form. Yet, if you are a small business owner, building your network is the only way you can get ahead. Can these skills be learned? You bet they can. Read Nose to Nose Networking, no nonsense in-person networking tips from a master. Who's the master? Well, who better to teach networking and friend-building skills than a golden retriever? The author, Melanie Hope, takes the antics of Abigail and translates them into the human experience. Through Abby, you will learn how to set your intention, build a network, and get into and out of conversations with grace. If you love the Dog Abby segments on Counterculture Wise Radio, you will love Nose to Nose Networking even more. Find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble in hard copy, Kindle, and Nook. Visit CountercultureWise.com for direct links.
Are you curious about Tantra? Did you know Tantra isn't just about sex? Think meditation, breathwork, earthing, ceremony, the chakra system, deep self-healing, the shame and shadows and trauma that we hold in our body. Join me, Tara, for Tantra with Tara every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Each show will begin with a guided meditation. Tantra is shifting and deepening the lives, spirits, and hearts of people all over the world. Invite Tantra to shift yours.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at SerenityRug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's SerenityRug.com.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. the average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home, MyZestiness.com.
Sunday, 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 starting at 7:30 p.m., expand your mind, develop your consciousness. Great conversation, great advice, and great fun. Counterculture-wise radio, only on freedomizerradio.com. We're on to you. Are you on to yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
And welcome back, gang. This is your co-host, host for the day, Rick Johnson. And if you'd like to be part of the show today, the phone number here is 319-527-6208, and press 1 to be on the air. And our president of BIL, Proof, is here, and I'm going to go and bring Proof on so we can hear what wonderful things he has to add to the show. Welcome. How you doing, Proof?
Oh, I'm adequate. Thanks for allowing me to come on here.
Always. It's an absolute joy always having you on the show.
I originally thought you wanted to come and be by your lonesome today, but that usually doesn't make sense.
Yeah, as soon as I got started, I was popped over to our Facebook page, just kind of scrolling through some stuff as I was talking there. And by the time I got back, I hadn't seen your message there. But I'll know never to do that again. I'll make sure to look.
Unless you want to do the show by yourself, you might have an agenda that you want to push. And I'm okay either way. I'm not mad if you had enough topics to go on your own. I'm okay with that. But if not, that's
You know, one of the things that me personally I always find is, I mean, while that could be true at some point down the road, and I'll always keep that in the back of my head, I actually really, really like having the discourse with multiple people, because even though I generally, when I come to a personal opinion, and I bet you're probably very similar to that, most thinking people are, you listen to as many opinions and ideas as possible before you formulate where, you know, your particular stance is.
Well,
and even
that,
after
but,
you develop...
What we want to do is to try and make people feel as though they have a voice in the community. And when someone mentions the fact that they went somewhere, it inspires other people. We have a lot of new
exactly.
people all the time. And Let me just mention, too, that we had another meme join the Millionaires Club today.
Oh, which one? Which one was it? Because there were several that were you put out.
In the Defunct series, it's the one with the health codes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see if I can find that one real quick. I'm looking for it right now.
I posted on it earlier.
There's been a lot of good memes.
In 9 weeks, we've had five that got over 1 million in traffic. And none in the same week either, which is even more important.
Yeah, there's quite a few good ones that you've put out. Just adding
one
more to the Millionaires
series,
Club.
And I'll probably add to it. But I did 17 different debunked memes, all of them designed to answer a bunch of questions that people have for the particular topic.
I know that was one of the themes that I kept seeing this week being posted is some obviously newer members questioning why, you know, that we're so adamant about trying to get businesses to stop. Or more to the point, why we want to disregard a business's right to not allow bare feet in the store. And, you know, and that was hopefully the point that got across. Was that,
well, most
not
of
that
them
we
don't even know that there's no laws. And even still, many businesses don't even care. They just want to be in business and make money.
Right, and that's what the point I was trying to make was that, you know, they need to understand that these businesses are putting signs up based off of false knowledge. You know, it's not
like
they're deciding.
Yeah, but 9 out of 10 stores
don't
even have signs up.
Not anymore. Yeah, and it's getting fewer and fewer. And the ones that do, they're just. I personally think it's not from a conscious thought of I don't want barefooted people in my store. It's we're supposed to do this. This is what the law is, and they don't even know what the rules are, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, so you might have seen a meme that I reposted this week, and it says, which one shows that you respect the business? And one is a wad full of money, and the other one is wearing the absolute thinnest possible sandals you can make. And it's more important, making sure that we have enough money to stay in business, or making sure everybody has a thin layer underneath them that's as thick as two sheets of newspaper glued together, held on by a rubber band? Which one's more important to the business?
Yep, without a doubt. I mean, that's one of the – that meme I like a lot. And I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact. Most businesses stay open by selling items. No money is made by checking people for shoes. That's kind of one of the points I was making. You know, it's like these businesses realize that, okay, one, there's no laws, and two, there's no liability. Then what's my problem with having a barefooted patron in my store, especially if they're going to spend money? And if they're, you know, that store doesn't want to take our barefooted money, then guess what? You know, you've said this many times before. There's, you know, many other businesses that are going to welcome us with open arms and just open your wallet and start buying our stuff so we can make a profit. And that's where we should be spending our money. You know, it's one of the bigger ways that we can advocate.
Well, and as we grow, we're going to have an even bigger arm. And if you haven't looked at the business page out there, our business page will hit 90,000 members probably today. And we're slated possibly get to 100,000 just on our business page by the end of the month.
That'll be awesome.
We're at like 89,964 or something like that. I walked away from the computer, so I saw we were just a shade under 90,000. We should get that today easily.
That's going to be awesome.
So, yeah, between
yeah, I'm looking at it right
we
now.
Have
quite a few
in either the business page or the Facebook group, and some, like, I think about 2,800 might be in both. Our reach is currently like right around 105,000 right now.
That's awesome. That's
so yeah, obviously
than
we're bigger
every
than
other
every other
group around.
That exists combined, and it's not
yep,
even close.
Yeah, we've definitely gotten somewhere, and hopefully we can continue to grow and get that number, you know, doubled and then tripled.
Hey, I wanted to talk about one other issue, and then I see Kevin's wanted to call in. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Yeah, just let me know when you want to bring him on. We'll bring him on.
And I don't know if there's anyone else out there that wants to call in, but don't be afraid. It's just us. We do welcome your feedback here, and we want to hear how you could possibly, maybe you have a question, maybe you went somewhere for the first time, maybe you want to share an experience. The number here is 319-527-6208. And if you want to talk to us, just press lucky number one on your phone, and we'll have you as a member of the speaking community here. And
yeah, I see that Nick Pierce is also in the queue. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on right now, too, and then we'll get Kevin's on here.
Did he press the one button, or is he just listening?
He did. He did.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
And there he is, our illustrious host. Nick, how you doing? Nick?
He
may have stepped away for
yes.
a minute.
Hello, hello.
Hey,
yep,
there
I'm
he
here.
Is. How we doing?
Oh, man. It's been a brutal week. I survived the zombie apocalypse training, and I just posted something up there on our Facebook page. If you go to the Facebook group, Barefoot is Legal, and you will see me with, you know, a buddy of ours that's also part of Barefoot is Legal, who's also a member of BIL in the group, getting out of the zombie apocalypse training camp, evacuated. And we survived 7 days straight. And that's where I've been the past week during my rigorous training exercises that I do. And my feet are unscathed. Only injury to my finger. And you'll see a clip of that.
What'd you do
there.
To your finger?
Well, a machete and a sword battle. And, yeah, pretty much stitched myself up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and then the next morning when a buddy of mine woke up, we were able to finish bandaging it, you know. So, that's just the way it rolls.
Very cool. I got to ask, that training that you go to where you get together with these folks, any other barefooters with you, or are you pretty much the barefooter?
Actually, my nephew. He's really getting into it, and he's been doing the whole barefoot thing. Like I said, the other guy in the video, as we were driving home, we just left, and as soon as I hit shore, pretty much as I call it, as soon as I landed back at the house, we're just hanging out here, and I just wanted to jump on the air and just hang out. It's been a while. I know it's been a few weeks, and our members have just been like, you know, wait a minute, what about Nick? What happened? And, you know, I just figured, I know, you know, the past few weeks have been business oriented, but then at the end of all that stretch, I take a nice week long vacation. What most people would not call it vacation. They call it pure hell. Just going out in the wild and foraging and living off grid and doing the crazy, bug out, surviving the zombie apocalypse thing. Very intense training, dropped 20 pounds, and I'm good to go. Now I can sit on my rear end at my desk job for the rest of the year, or at least until the end of the summer when I do it again, and I'm good for winter, you know.
Nick, is what we call it, it's special high-intensity training.
Yeah, pretty much. That's really all it is. I mean,
yeah,
we just put zombie in front of it. Yeah. I mean,
just
make it fun.
You just take the acronym there for special high-intensity training.
Special high intensity training. Spit. So, if any of our listeners or anybody wants to go on the Facebook group that we have, just go to Facebook, Barefoot is Legal, and you'll see a little clip that I posted. I survived the zombie apocalypse, or spit training, exactly, as Proof was saying.
So,
and,
Nick,
while
you were out, our business page is dangerously close to 100,000 members.
Wow, that's great. My signal has been so minimal, and I have barely been able to get onto Facebook, never mind get a phone call the past week.
No, I understand.
That's how remote it is. And that's why at 4 o'clock in the morning, I decided to start giving my own self sutures. And it actually happened right in the joint, like in the knuckle, in the fold of the hand. So it's, Maybe I should, maybe
yeah,
I should just stick
cool.
to, like, just going camping and just wrecking the truck, avoiding a deer.
Well, which one
I think that's safer. So
right.
How's everybody been?
Kevin's been waiting.
I catch
why don't
the show when
bring
I can.
Kevin on if you guys are okay with that.
Oh, yeah. I haven't talked to Kevin's in a while.
Yeah, let's go and bring on Kevin's. Hopefully he's ready to go. I'm sure he is. He usually is. And here we go. Hey, Kevin's, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning and afternoon to everybody out there in Barefoot Land.
Hello, Kevin.
Sir.
Huh?
No, I just said welcome in. I didn't mean to scare you.
No, it was I heard a little bit of static in the background, but I guess it's cleared up now.
Sorry, it's Las Vegas. I have two fans in this room, if it's me. I don't know if it is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No,
more fans than I have the past week because I haven't been on the show.
You
know, I haven't gotten as much hate mail either. So two fans in the room is a lot better.
Yeah. Well, it's especially with this dog on. Heat wave that's been happening here on the East Coast has been
It's brutal.
Near unbearable. It's like, you know, and for me, you know, even in the midst of this heat wave, it's like I've been barely running my AC just to save on my electric bill, which it kind of worked, even though I was just running a fan honestly, and it rained early and junk like that. I mean. It is not Barefoot related or anything, but as of right now.
Well, I don't mind, Kevin's. I can piggyback on that. I just paid my June electric bill last week. You know, the one that's for June that they send you in the first week of July.
My bill was
$15.06 to run a 5-bedroom house.
Oh, you know what? I only got a 1-bedroom apartment right now, and as of right now, my electric bill is $28 for this month.
Well, I have solar. That's why I'm gloating.
I was gonna say if you have solar, I figured it'd be around $5, $6, or $7 for the month.
There was 1 month in January. My electric bill for January was $0.09. And I let it go. I paid it after they charged me a late fee. My late fee was 25% of my bill, so I ended up paying 11 cents.
That's freaking awesome.
11 cents with the penalty. Oh, boy. It wasn't even worth
it. I think it
could have paid 11
cents.
The second notice.
Solar is not worth it. It's worth it if you have an older house. If you have something that's Energy Start up and it was built in 2012, solar is not going to work for you right this second. But my house was built in 1978.
Yeah, but
so
you know it cost them more to send you the bill than it did for them to collect the money from it.
Yes.
I mean, just in the postage to send you the bill to collect the 9 cents, thank God you paid it late because they made an extra few cents. It still costs them more. They're upside down, plus the processing that they have to use to cash the check that you made out for 11 cents.
Well, I paid it online, but, yeah, they still have to pay somebody to post payments and such.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is why I go paperless. All bills do electronic.
Even paperless, it still costs them more just to run the service.
Right.
Wow.
Then again, I saw one of those that commercial where it was as seen on TV. I believe it was. Somebody made some invention called this Arctic Blast or Arctic Air or something like that is a little
box. Something like that.
It's supposed to you fill it with water and it's supposed to blast out cool air. I forgot how many hours it lasts on one charge, but now I thought about getting that. I really thought about it. If it's worth the money.
No, it doesn't work. This week it's been 95 degrees, and you can jump in a lake, and it's like you're walking on the planet Sun, and when you get in the water, it's boiling. I mean, the water seriously is as hot as it could be.
There was no refreshing.
I would love an Arctic Blast.
I tell you, if you're still sweating in the water, then you know it's hot. You know?
It boiled me. I was like a lobster.
I want to share one of the coolest BIL stories ever that happened this week.
Go for it. I'd love to hear.
Robin McRae, our brand new management staff. She lives in Jackson, Michigan. We had a member yesterday, a brand new member from Jackson, Michigan, join us. As it turns out, it was her neighbor across the street that she's never met.
The street.
Oh, wow.
She posted pics about that. Yeah, I thought that was amazing, absolutely amazing.
That is awesome.
And as we grow, we're going to hear more stories like that. I just think it'd be the coolest thing for people to say, hey, somebody four doors down from me or somebody else in my apartment complex is one of us. That's going to happen eventually.
That is great. That is awesome. I was at the shooting range yesterday, and someone walked in with those five-finger shoes or something.
The Vibrams. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but they actually had five. I counted the toes in them because I think the Vibrams only had four. And then she looked at me, and she was with her husband, and she goes, I can't believe you're barefoot at the shooting range. I said, well, of course, why not? And I was looking at her, and she goes, well, I normally just wear these because the brass gets hot, you know, when it falls on the ground and stuff, you know, and you step on them. You know, and I said, well, you just don't step on the brass. It's like kind of avoiding glass. She goes, well, I do that all the time. I told her about BIL and stuff like that. So we may have a new recruit. I can't remember her name now.
Okay.
Very interesting. She was there, and I think she was kind of new, just learning how to use a gun with her husband. But it was very interesting. It was almost like one of those, like, I think she bought the shoes special just to go to the range because her husband wanted her to wear them, you know, just for her own, like, oh, safety, whatever. She came onto our side of the range and she was just like, you heard her talking to her husband, like pointing, like, look, he's there with his kids, like shooting and he's barefoot. And I was there with my nephews and stuff. And it was the first time the little ones ever shot a gun. And I'm just like, here, just take the pistol, do this. You know, just get used to firing it, and it just try to hit the target type deal. And it was just kind of one of those things, like, she looked and she could not believe that I was, like, sitting there in a range shooting barefoot. But yeah, at the same time, I have, like, hearing protection and the glasses, you know, and all that stuff. And it was just really interesting. And she goes, wow. I didn't think that you could even, like, do this barefoot, but my husband told me that I had to wear these just to at least protect me from, like, the hot brass or something that falls on the ground. And I'm like, oh, well, you feel it when it falls on your foot, you just kick it over, and you're done. You just brush it off to the side. And she was kind of, like, on the fence, like, did she want to shoot barefoot or not? But she just had those shoes on, and it just really stood out. And we had a great conversation. So maybe we'll have a new member. That'd be great if we do.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, Nick, while you were gone, I was sharing earlier that we had another meme today make the Millionaires Club as far as 1 million hits on the business page.
Nice.
It's in that debunked series. I've done 17 so far, and the one barefoot versus health codes hit 1 million.
Wow. I have to try to find it. I have not been on Facebook in about a week. Here
so
and there,
in 9 weeks, I've had
five
different memes get over a million hits.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I mean, just the momentum that we're having is just amazing.
Oh.
I mean, with the memes and everything.
So, I had some talk with a couple of our fellow management critters here this week. And I don't know if Kevin's might have anything to say on this, because we have a lot of people. We have the most important part, which is traffic. Because without traffic, you have no business. So we have business, and that's good. But we have a lot of people that are new to us. We have a lot of people that are trying it for the first time. But other than maybe somebody posting once or twice, and then there's people, of course, that post more than that, but it's like they join us, they post a couple times, and then that's it. So how can we keep people on the forward momentum, which is posting more, telling their friends, being part of the VIB community, and trying to do more within, because we're good at bringing people in, but taking that next step is a big challenge.
I just flipped over to the Facebook page, and I'm looking at all these new faces. I'm like, wow. I can't believe, all these new pictures, all these names I've never seen before. And I'm just like, wow, I missed a lot in a week. We're always going to have growth. And I've also noticed that I saw a face maybe a couple days ago that posted for the first time. And they've been a member since 2016.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to find it now.
Hey, Richard, I'm going to authorize the skipping of the commercial. I'm okay with that.
Okay, I was about to break in there. Sounds good. You know, that's just something Nick just mentioned, too.
I wanted to stay on this topic because I think it's very important for the community. So I'm okay
with
the commercial.
Don't
do
agree.
It often. I'm just letting this one go.
You know, what Nick's saying, you know, and you're right. It's we get them to join because they finally found a group like us, but then getting them to take that next step, which is to actually start becoming more involved and being active participants and active advocates, it is tough. But I think part of it is finding us as a group is like a huge step, because they've probably been barefooting by themselves. And as we all know, having family and other people scoff at them, you know, it's kind of tough when you're by yourself. But I think as we keep growing and people start meeting others in the flesh that are within a reasonable reach of each other, I think that's where we're going to start seeing people starting to band together, you know, in twos and threes, and then it'll just grow exponentially where they'll start probably becoming a little more proactive, especially as we start coming up with ways to start attending festivals or markets and, you know, having booths and all that. But you're right. It's been our biggest struggle. It's like we're getting the numbers, but now to get these people mobilized, to want to be mobilized, to do something more and grow ourselves even further, then, you know, that's definitely the challenge. And I
so
be honest,
not
I've
even I'm not even saying they have to be as big of people as we all are here, but just to get people off, obviously level zero is they're not here with us. Level one means they joined. Level two is they are at least a sometimes participant, and we have to find a way to get people to take that next jump to at least a somewhat regular participant.
I agree, yeah. That's kind of why, you know, Nick Deutschman and I were talking about the little barefoot selfie wars. Every time we've done one of those posts, it generates quite a few responses from people, and they'll start, like, going, you know, and that was one of the things we're trying to do is get people to realize, it's like, when that challenge is posted on the spot, hopefully you get the notification, and it gets you off your couch and outside to go, hey, I'm going to go try to do this right now, instead of thinking about it, you know, and talking yourself out of it. Instead, just go off, run off to a store and go do it. You know, so we're kind of hoping that'll help spur people. And then at some point, I'm going to try to put up to some prizes. But, you know, just coming up with the right barefoot prizes is the issue. You know, maybe some barefoot sandals or paying for a VIB membership for somebody. But we want to try to get it going to where we try to get that participation where they're not just, you know, always lurking and then maybe once in a great while posting a picture of themselves. No, you know, give them some motivation to get out, to go ahead and get out and go try to copy what, you know, Nick does or what you or Nick Pierce, any of us that go out barefooting regularly. I mean, we've all reached
out.
Well,
not many people are commenting on me because I don't have a cell phone, so I don't take many selfies.
You've got a few photos in there, but I get what you mean. You know, yours may not be instant, but still, you know, you've posted some photos, which is good to see.
I'm the group's motivational speaker, for lack of a better term.
There you go.
Well, you know, there are people who in the group, they're just not, like, really used to, you know, posting pictures of themselves and stuff like that. I mean, you know, they'll say, you know, well, I don't have nothing to post. I don't have nothing to talk about junk like that. I mean, yeah, there are lurkers in their group. I mean, I didn't realize it, but I mean, there are people who work in the group and they join for God knows how long. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, yeah, they those are the people who probably do need the motivation to most.
Well, I would love to see 5 to 10% participation. And if we have 17,000 members, that would be 10% would be 1,700. It'd be nice to have at least 1,000 different people post, and 5% would be somewhat normal. And it seems
you,
like
you,
we
you know
fall
what
below that.
You know,
yeah,
for me, and Proof, you're right. And for me, like what Kevin was saying, it's like with me, like before I even went out last week, Thursday and Friday, I was doing a lot of shopping. I was doing a lot of things. And it wasn't until like the selfie war and I thought about it, I was in a store and I started taking a lot of pictures. I was like at 4 or 5 different stores taking pictures and posting them. But it's like, don't forget, sometimes, like, I've been a member for how long, but it seems like it's no big deal. So I don't understand, like, what's the big deal about being someplace barefoot? But then it's when I started doing that, it's almost like, oh, I started doing that because it's going to motivate other people and a lot of our new members. And then I thought about the whole selfie war thing, and I think I forgot to hashtag it as selfie war and throw Nick and Kevin's and everybody else and Richard, everybody else doing the selfie war thing. I forgot to probably do that. But it was like, if you notice, like in one day, it was like, oh, 3 or 4 different stops just in that one day where I'm just like, oh, here's the selfie. But yet it's like, I'll sit back sometimes and I'm just like, well, what's the big deal about going barefoot? I mean, I do it all the time. So like you have a level of membership that's just like, well, I just go barefoot no matter what, and I've been that way forever. I don't know what the big deal is. But yet at the same time, it's like, well, now that you look at it, now I'm making a more conscious decision where it's like every time I'm somewhere, I'm going to take a picture. And even though it's the same stores I go to over and over and over again, I'm going to make an effort to not just sit there and be like, oh, cool, you went there barefoot. Okay, Mike, you have an issue, comment on it. Whatever. Oh, call the legal number. Whatever. Okay. You know, I mean, with me, there's a lot that happens behind the scenes with members when it comes to calling the legal line. But I don't know. It's like I'm more of like a get on Facebook for an hour, like, poke, you know, or whatever it is that you do on that thing. And you know, whatever. But then it comes down to, like, I get it now. It's like maybe I should just, even though it's the same store over and over again, or like Harbor Freight or Family Dollar or Kroger, Meijer,
well, if you're
whatever
going every
it is,
week, I don't think
take
you need
the
picture,
picture
every
throw
week,
it out there,
but just to rotate the type of businesses you go to would be cool.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot that I go to over and over and over again. I mean, there's seven different businesses I go to every week. But then I thought about it. It's no different than the new questions that members ask. Even though it's the same question that someone may have asked a week ago, it's the same question that a new person's asking because they don't know the answer. And sometimes it's like, you look at the question, it's like, oh, I didn't know it was, is there anything about health departments and blah, 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 this and the other? Or I didn't know it was this. Where can I find that info type deal? And you look at it like, well, we've answered these questions 100 times, but yet there's that new member orientation thing, and you answer the question, you help them find the information, you direct them to the website, stuff like that. So as opposed to me always going into Family Dollar or going into Kroger or going into Meijer or going to BP or Aldi and all that, I realize now that, well, I'm just going to do that every week. Because people don't see that when they first join, what happened a week ago, a month ago, a year ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah, this way they don't see it as just a one-off type of a situation. They see it's a consistent thing. You're living the lifestyle that we claim
yeah.
we live.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm still waiting for a Jungle Gym selfie.
Oh, yeah. I got to go to Jungle Gyms again and take a picture. I'm sorry. I was there about a month ago.
Yeah, I want to see you either buying ostrich or buffalo or elk somewhere in that vicinity. I'd be very happy.
I'll take a picture of myself in the exotic guava melon aisle, you know, with seven different varieties of guava melons or something like that. Yeah.
One of the things you touched on with you're talking about the selfies, even though it's the same basic selfie again and again and again, you're basically getting into the mindset of the new members and recognizing the fact that for them, you know, even though they may go barefoot at home and maybe a little bit outside the house, getting out into the stores is something brand new to them. Because, I mean, how many times have we heard a new member sit there and say, oh, my God, I'm so glad I found you guys. I love going barefoot. I didn't know you could go into a store. I didn't know that there weren't laws. And for those folks, going into that store for the first time is scary, but yet if they see, I understand your point about seeing the same photos again and again and again, you know, you run that risk of, okay, I've seen this, and you start disregarding it. I think for a lot of our newer members to see different photos, even if it is in the same place, even if it is just you barefoot grocery shopping, I think for them it'll reinforce that. You know, it's like if they could sit there and peek at us in a reality show context and see everything you do barefooted as you go about your day, as you go about your work, as you go about your, you know, home to wherever living, they'd sit there and realize, you know what, wow, this is actually a lot easier than, you know, I thought. And they don't get to do that. So seeing, you know, these, you know, repetitive photos, I think kind of helps serve that same purpose, you know. But, I mean, that's just kind of my view on it. And then also the other thing I always think about is because of the way the feed works and the Facebook algorithms work, we don't always see all the same things. If I don't go to our Facebook page and then just scroll through, there's, probably 2/3 of posted images that don't make it to my feed that I never get to see. So,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, I think as more people keep posting and, you know, I keep seeing enough posts where somebody makes a comment about, wow, you know, I was inspired by, you know, Nick's post, or I was inspired by Kevin's post, or, you know, I see enough of that to realize, okay, if there's a couple people commenting that they're being inspired, then there's probably a lot more that aren't commenting that are still being inspired.
You know, as far as going barefoot, you know, I know it wasn't easy for me because I was still like so shy. You know, I wasn't one of because every so often a person posts me like, you know, I've been going barefoot since I was a kid, but then again I stopped. You know what I'm saying? And especially when their parents, you know, always tell them put some shoes on, and they end up kicking them off anyways. You know what I'm saying? And then there's other people like me who started this like kind of sort of late in life. You know what I'm saying? Because for me, as a child growing up, walking out the house without no shoes on was never a thought in my brain. You know, because many other people, I thought it was normal, you know, to walk around with shoes on or flip flops, sandals, whatever it is. I mean, I thought it was always normal. You know what I'm saying? And now going through this, and of course with everybody else in the group, everybody got reasons as to why they go barefoot. I mean for me, when I done the research pretty much convinced me. So I had to go out and try it. I had to, you know, take baby steps. You know what I'm saying? I would tell people, hey, you know what? Start going barefoot to the laundry room, which is where I kind of sort of started. You know what I'm saying? I would like start there, and then it just went from there on out. You know what I'm saying? And earlier, Richard was talking about, you know, using the religious excuse, and really, I don't think nobody can use the religious reasons to go barefoot, because I don't think there's no religion that says you have to go barefoot. Not that I know of. You know, that's
kind of religion is just something
research.
You believe in. So if you believe in being barefoot, then that is the religion itself.
I know within the Catholic community, there are several different monks. The followers of St. Francis of Assisi do specifically go barefoot.
Yeah, Franciscan
monks.
Yep.
So there are, and I know also too in other religions like Wicca, being in contact with the earth. So there are some, and you know, and again, it's kind of one of those things where it's like
the Jains.
Yeah,
the Jains are the largest religion. Jain is one religion that they do not wear shoes. They're very careful of where they walk, because they don't even want to step on a bug. And it's called Jainism.
So if you look at their actual
symbol, it looks like the Nazi swastika, but only it's the actual way it was before Hitler adopted it in World War II. Yeah.
So the Wicca, Wiccan, whatever it's called, that religion is being connected to Mother Earth, which I never heard of that religion anyways.
Well, Wiccan, there's Jain, and... if you go even further, I mean, certain sects of Buddhist monks and all of that adopt the barefoot policy as well, and that's part of Buddhism.
Yeah. So basically, if I go into let's say to any place that says certain shoes are required, and they tell me I have to put on shoes, I'd be like, well, I do this because of my religion or for religious reasons and junk like that. You know, I mean, and I do believe that a store or any store, regardless of what sign they have on the door, they can't, you know, discriminate in any way, shape, form, or fashion, you know, because religious reasons is in that criteria or whatever. So for me, if I say, hey, this is my religion, you know, junk like that, you know, I don't think they can ask you to prove it or have some documentation or stuff like that. You know, somebody can.
Well, here's the thing: when it comes to stuff like that, Kevin, and you're very right. I've run into this at times where it's like it was like if someone were to say like, you know, oh, it's for religious reasons, and they're just like, can you prove it? I turn around to them and I'm like, what religion are you? They're like, well, I'm Christian or I'm Jewish, and I'm like, okay, can you prove it? Religions do not issue ID cards. Religions do not issue an amulet to wear around your neck that says that I'm Christian, I'm Jewish, I'm Buddhist, I'm Muslim, I'm you know, anything like that. There's no ID card that says that this is my religion. I mean, maybe a priest or a minister may have some credentials that they were ordained under, but there is not one religion that walks around to the congregation and says, oh, you attend our church? Oh, here's your ID card that says that you're a member of our church. Oh,
it
you're
could
a Christian?
Come back next Sunday,
I mean,
earlier.
besides a certificate of baptism, I mean, how many like Christians or Catholics walk around and says like, "Oh, I've received 7 sacraments," you know, besides a marriage certificate, a baptismal certificate. I mean, you get baptism, you get reconciliation, you get confirmation, you get what is it? Anointing of the sick. Oh my God, what is a certificate for that? I mean, how does anybody prove that they are any religion because there's no ID card issued? There's nothing that says like, "Oh, I am like documented as a whatever."
That calls, honestly, that calls a file complaint against that company, you know, that store manager could be on some other stuff and be like, "Oh, I don't care about what religion and young man is that, just, you know, put some shoes on and yada, yada, yada." You'd be like, "Oh, okay." I'll be like, "Okay, well,
you can, easily turn that around and say, I don't care what religion you are either, but, you know, I understand based on your religion you want me to wear shoes. Based on my religion, you better take your shoes off. So let me shop."
And you know,
go ahead.
You know, and all of this. Oh, sorry. All of this kind of comes down to the same thing that I've said before many times. And until there's a lawsuit pressed by a barefooter against a store owner for those types of violations, we're never going to see any real significant change. But unfortunately, you know, that obviously costs money to hire a lawyer. And that's how a lot of these businesses continue to get away with challenging you being barefooted on religious grounds or even medical grounds. You know, they're not supposed to ask. It's against the law for them to ask. But it's also against the law to break, you know, the posted speed limit. But how many people do and they get away with it? Getting away with it, right? The same thing with these store owners. They get away with saying, "Oh, you've got a disability. Well, what's your disability? You don't look like you're disabled." And of course, the person that just now had their rights violated really can't, you know, challenge back too much other than say, "Hey, you know, you're violating my rights." And it's like, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? I mean, that's kind of the attitude that some of these businesses take. And until you sit there and say, "All right, I'll be back with my lawyer. My lawyer will contact you, and we'll go from there." You know, but how many of us have money?
I was at a baseball game, and someone asked that question. I was at a baseball game, and I have this on video, and I'm still trying to clear up the audio because what happened during the whole midst of everything, I was sitting in the stands, and 7 security officers came to the row that I was sitting in and asked me to come walk with them to talk to me up in the concourse or at the top of the row that I was sitting in. And one of them turned around and said, "Well, I don't understand. What is the..." And the other boss apparently told him that he can't say that. And it turned into a whole round where all of a sudden they started isolating themselves. And someone from the PR department came into the middle of the whole thing and said, "Come with me," and took that guy outside. And he was practically done. I think he got reassigned or just completely removed from the situation because that person was just walking up. Now, keep in mind, they wanted to make it a health department issue. And the director of Montgomery County's health department was sitting with me at a function that I was at. And it was for a TV station where they were acknowledging people that were part of, like, community, you know, it was a recognition thing. And whereas I do a lot of media work, it was at a minor league baseball game. And they actually, because he asked that question, and his boss turned around and said, "You can't say that to him." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." Like, I jumped on his back as well. I said, "I'm going to team up with the boss over here." And it became this weird triangle against his own people. And everything just, like, and he goes, "Well, if you want to talk about health department, the director of the health department is standing right there leaning against that rail. And you can go ask Dan. You can go ask him." I mean, it was like an embarrassment for the entire park, and that's why the PR person was on their way already to the stands where I was sitting, because they saw what was going on. It's like, "Wait a minute, what's going on? Why are 7 security people staying around this guy?" I mean, it was just like, they're already on their way down there in the middle of the conversation. They're just like, "Okay, you get out of here." I mean, it was like, the guy who was in charge of security, I mean, it's just like, walking through the front gate, it's like, "Oh, hi. Oh, you're with, oh, yeah. Yeah, go down here, go there, blah, blah, blah. you know, can we get you anything? Do you want it? People are coming by. Do you want food? Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want that? Before the game, you guys just stand and you just wave and blah, blah. And we're going to do the thing. It's going to be on the WB. You know, it's being broadcast. I mean, it's just like an acknowledgement thing for excellence in community media, they call it. And it's just like, you got to be kidding me.
It's like, you know, kudos to that PR person for being observant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that PR person was on top of it. I mean, they recognized the lawsuit from where they were sitting.
Well, it would have been a public embarrassment to have someone from a TV station, like a group from a TV station, and the director of the health department was the marketing director in that TV station. He just comes to all the functions anyway. And that's how I know him. We worked together. He was the marketing guy for that TV station. So it's like we used to go out all the time. We hung out. We went to the best of the parties. We went to all the functions for the TV station together and everything like that. And then he eventually left the TV station and moved over to the Montgomery County Board of Health in the state. And so he still goes to all the functions. And it was just kind of one of those things. I think even about a year or so ago, we were at a big Christmas party at a very high-class place where they were having the annual Christmas party, or the holiday party, I guess as you got to call it now. And someone from the kitchen goes, do you know that someone here doesn't have shoes on and we're just kind of worried? And he turned around to them and goes, oh, don't worry about it. No, it's not a health department thing. I am the health department. And he's like, really? He's not kind of one of those things. He is the freaking health department. Are you kidding?
That's funny.
And,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, you look at things like that and it's just like, well, and this is why it's such a hard time clearing up the audio, because what they did was they brought a lot of music up really loud to drown out a lot of what was going on and detract attention. They started playing loud music. They sent the mascot on the field because they wanted the cameras to focus in on something else.
Turn away.
It was almost like a whole, like, damage control thing happened from, like, levels above what was going on. When the PR person realized what was going on, called some shots by the time she got out there. To actually address the situation going on. And so that's why I'm having such a hard time clearing up the audio on this one, because I want to post this video. But I really want people to hear exactly what was said and what happened, because it's kind of one of those how we handle them situations. It's like, okay, in a situation like this, you excuse yourself from the group. It's like, oh, I didn't know my cell phone wasn't working. Okay, yeah, you have a phone. I'll take the call over there. And everybody doesn't know in your party, you know. It's kind of like that, you know, you don't want to cause an embarrassment, but yet at the same time, apparently, higher up, they knew what was going on. It just made it look like an important phone call that happened, and they couldn't get through, and they found where I was. And they called the ballpark to the group that I was with. But yet, apparently, somewhere else, they knew what was going on. And by the time they realized what was going on, they were already in damage control by the time this confrontation even happened, once PR and media relations and all this was, you know, notified of whatever. And when they saw who it was, who I was with, and what was going on, they were just like, oh, we're going to bring the music on, so the mascot on the field, and blah, 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 this and the other. Cover it up, because they don't want to be embarrassed.
Would that could only happen in every barefooting situation? That'd be nice.
Oh, I know. It's like, and this is why I want to clear up this audio so bad, to hear exactly everything that happened. But there's so much background music and noise. It's like I throw the video out there now, but it's just like you can't really hear what's going on.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of the reasons, too, you know, why we keep pushing. And I just hope more and more of our members start paying attention, not only to the show, but also going into the all the other sections, the files that we have on Barefoot is Legal, and actually start spending some time reading. Because every once in a while I have to cringe when I see somebody post a response answering a question, because they'll sometimes leave out important aspects to the whole answer about certain rights and what, you know, businesses are and aren't allowed to do, or why they can get away with certain things, and understanding that, you know, like we were just saying, you know, the business doesn't realize it's violating a law, and until they get challenged, there's not going to be any corrective behavior. And, you know, I honestly believe that's what's going to happen. And, you know, once we get a couple of lawsuits filed, taken to court, won, then we're going to be able to cite case laws and get some serious changes.
You need presidents to actually get us to move forward. And you just need one successful case to go through. And the problem is that we have an unsuccessful case from way back in the day with a library in Columbus, Ohio. And it was just based on freedom of expression. Someone needs to bring this to court and say, no, this is medical. This is religious. It's something like that and make it stick to set precedents for every other case to actually move forward and be judged on.
So with that, Richard, I if you're around later, I want to give you a call after the show. Because we're out of time here for the most part.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, we are out of time, and I want to brush my teeth and take a shower. It's been a week.
All right, well, guys, later.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, glad to have you. Well, and I'm your host, Rick Johnson, and on behalf of our normal host, Nick Pierce, who called in, which we were very appreciative of that, on behalf of our illustrious president, Proof, and Kevin, who calls into the show, I'd like to thank everyone for listening in. Until next week, free your souls, free your toes, because barefoot is legal.
Richard? Richard, it's all you.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
We'll be back next week with
there it is.